Hello and welcome to the Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Edward Deedy and John Terry, who are both involved in The Island, which is being performed from Wednesday the 10th to Saturday the 20th of May at the Theatre Chipping Norton. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
Nice to be here.
So please tell us about the play and your production.
Well, the play is The Island by a South African writer, a very well-known writer, Athol Fugard. And it's a play that's set in Robben Island, which is the prison where Nelson Mandela was incarcerated for many years. And it's based on these two inmates who are in the same prison and how they deal with the situation they're in. They're both political prisoners and been incarcerated for protesting against apartheid in their own different ways. And while they're in there, one of the inmates wants to put on a play, which is Antigone. And the other one obviously doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And it's more than that. It's more about how they come together, and the situation arises when one of them has this news that he might be released. But it's a very emotional play. It's based on real life experience. It's based on an actual prisoner who was going to put Antigone on, and also the experiences of John Carney and Winston Ashona, who are the actual actors in the play, and the whole thing that it's based on as well. So there's lots of kind of real life experiences that are drawn on the play, which is great for inspiration for us to play. And lots of things in there which is funny, humorous, all things that deal with human emotion and what it's like to be in prison as well, and particularly in this prison, which is very notorious and very connected with the apartheid system at the time as well.
Yeah. So, John, you directed the show. Can you tell me about the link to Antigone and how you approached that in your development of the piece?
Yeah, so Antigone was put on twice in Robben Island, so far as I know. One two-man version that this is based on, and another production of it that, in fact, Nelson Mandela was in, playing Creon. And I think it was a sort of piece of text that they could use as a sort of form of political defiance without being busted for it. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, most of the political prisoners in South Africa in this sort of extraordinary feat of racism were all put together in the one place as if that wasn't somehow going to be a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Of course, so all of these political prisoners together in one place, and they educated each other and inspired each other and sort of kept the flame of their struggle alive within Robben Island by doing things like this production. Antigone as a character was one that they identified with because it was somebody who knowingly broke the law, in Antigone's case, in order to bury her brother, who was seen as a traitor. She broke the law knowingly because she felt that it was the right thing to do, the honourable thing to do. And that's what a lot of these guys were in the position of. Edward's character, Winston, is in prison for burning his passbook, which was a document that every black South African had to have at this time in the 1970s, without which they couldn't go anywhere, they couldn't get a job, they couldn't move, and even with which they were largely, it was used to restrict their movements and their sort of freedom of association with each other. So I think they saw an identification there. For us, it's also got an added element because we're presenting our production of The Island in the round, which is not only an incredibly exciting and immediate way of experiencing theatre, but is also reflective of Greek drama, where you have two or three actors on stage and you're surrounded by an audience with whom you have a very direct relationship, and you can speak to them as if they are the populace or the crowd. You can appeal to them directly. So that's something we've talked about a lot as well, is the sort of Greek drama aspect of it and why these guys chose to use Antigone as their form of defiance.
Yeah. Edward, can you tell me more about your character, Winston?
Well, Winston, he's imprisoned in the cell with John, who's the other character in the play. And Winston, unfortunately, is a lifer. He has been sentenced to life on Robben Island. And Winston is kind of... He's
annoying.
Yeah. Just trying to find the right word. He's a little bit of a firebrand. He's a bit... bit more kind of action now. From when you see kind of Winston in the kind of early stages of the play, he doesn't really get this sense of what is the point of doing this play? What does it mean? What effect is it going to have? Intellectualizing to the wardens about Antigone, they don't care. He's just more about let's do something which is more active, because probably that's his experience from what he says about him burning his passbook.
Mm.
For him, that's the reality of what he has to deal with and the situation that he's in, because he chose to do something as an act of defiance against this system.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that he sees as kind of, well, you know, this is just nonsense, I think kind of grates on him. Mm-hmm. And he just can't see it. But he has a lot of love for John in a way, which we get to see as well, because they identify with each other in the similarities that they have in the situation that they're in. Yeah. And where they come from the same town in Port Elizabeth.
They're a sort of classic odd couple. Yeah. In a way, aren't they? They're very, very different from each other, as indeed Mark Springer, the other actor, yes. and Ed are quite different from each other.
Yeah.
There's this sort of fantastic, between the characters, this fantastic loving antagonism where they're continually getting on each other's nerves and winding each other up something chronic,
bickering
an old married couple, but actually deeply tied to each other. There's only two guys who have spent every hour of the last 3 years together can be.
Mm. Yeah. So you've talked a lot about the play being an act of defiance, and obviously when it was first performed, it will, just putting it on itself was something for which the performers could have been arrested.
And were
arrested.
Yeah,
right.
They came back from New York having just won a load of Tony Awards on Broadway and were immediately arrested back in South Africa. So it sort of shows how different those two worlds were back then.
Even at the beginning, they couldn't even call the play The Island. It had to be called something else, which was Dahodoshi.
It was in Afrikaans.
And first performed in a garage to three domestic servants, one of whom left halfway through. So kind of from such inauspicious beginnings.
Yeah. So I was wondering, how have you reflected this defiance in your production? And because obviously you're allowed to put it on now, and I wonder how those echoes come through.
I think we're approaching it on two levels. On the one hand, it's an interesting history lesson. It's an interesting piece of history in itself as part of the struggle to find out a little bit more about apartheid and what it was actually like to live through those times. But our production, the approach to our production is very, very clean. It's quite neutral. It's quite sparse. And sitting there in the round, seeing other people like you looking back and watching these two guys, it does bring a kind of universal quality to mm-hmm. it. There are so many places, obviously, nowadays mm-hmm. where political prisoners, you know, people mm-hmm. whose beliefs or whose defiance has put them in an extraordinarily unpleasant, you know, incarceration. So I think we're keen to sort of let it echo to a lot of modern situations, and certainly when we've had post-show discussions, that's been a lot of what people are talking about. Yeah. Whether that's, you know, immigration and you know, suppression of different beliefs and you know, radical Islam, or whether it's about whole life terms in prison and how people feel about mm-hmm. that. There's been some really interesting discussions that it's prompted.
Injustice mm-hmm. against, you know, different regimes, which is mm-hmm. happening and ongoing now. It's like John said, it's very universal. Because mm-hmm. we find that from the post-show talks and kind of the responses from the audiences, it still resonates hugely for people. Even though apartheid might have, obviously, that was then mm-hmm. finished, you know, way in the late 80s, early 90s, it still has lots of kind of debates and questions that still raise from the play, particularly on different issues that we're going through today.
And it's a very raw experience to watch this show. It's very, very physical.
Mm-hmm.
It might sound a bit depressing that it's set in a prison, but actually more than anything else, I think it's incredibly inspirational, this sort of sense of that humanity just can't be suppressed, that you can put people in the most extraordinary extraordinarily difficult situations. These guys were put through these sort of Sisyphean punishments where they were made to push trees over with their foreheads, or as we see in the play, dig piles of sand, take them across the beach and pour them onto somebody else's pile of sand who's at the same point pouring sand onto your pile of sand. You know, just really mind-numbing and humiliating treatment. But yet somehow the spirit of these guys survive. I mean, the constitution of South Africa that's currently in use was written in Robben Island and stored in cracks in the wall between in the exercise yard. So it has a lot to say for all sorts of people and places in that situation today.
Yeah, universal relevance. So what were the challenges for you when you were developing it? Were there surprises? Were there things that you weren't expecting to come across?
I think perhaps none of us were expecting quite the amount of laughter and silliness that that we had putting it in the room, putting it together. And as I say, Mark and Ed are very different people. Ed being here at 10 o'clock in the morning to do the podcast, and Mark still being in bed getting his beauty sleep somewhere.
But he's relaxing. Yeah. His feet up.
How generous of you to allow him his relaxation.
I think that surprised us. I think one of the big challenges was, how do you get two guys from 21st century Britain to look, sound, feel, move like guys from a 1970s South African township whose upbringing has been totally different, who come from a different language group, who have a different relationship to rhythm and music and gesture. And not only that, how do you get a sense that these two guys, who when we opened the play had known each other for 4 weeks, had been living in each other's pockets for 3 years. So we did a lot of physical work, didn't we, on it?
It's been a kind of really full-on process of just lots of kind of looking at kind of physicality and structure in terms of the play as well, and just kind of the connection between myself and Mark because of what John said. That's integral
to the play.
You know, they've been in this cell together for 3 years. They know each other inside and out, intimately, and obviously in every way possible, because they've been in the cell together for so long. And it's bringing that on stage as well, and also all the situations of the environment that they're in as well. It's been fun to do. It's been a lot of laughs.
We knew we were getting somewhere when I asked a question at the beginning of week two of rehearsals, something to do with the play, and Mark said, you know, the thing is, it's quite difficult because, you know, and he turned to Ed, and Ed said, you're absolutely right. And they both looked back at me as if they'd said something, and I was like, neither of you have actually, you clearly know what each other is thinking.
So you're like, my work here
is
done.
It's a weird synergy. That's just,
and it's now become weirdly freaky that they keep doing things at the same time. They managed to burn their underwear that they wear for the production. They both burnt them on a radiator on exactly the same day,
but in different places,
in different dressing rooms.
It's what Pip, our stage manager, calls the show pants saga, the continuing saga that continues of just us doing things. You know, we just get a kind of, you know, psychic memo of just doing the same
burn
thing.
Your pants.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, with the same kind of ring around it from the radiator that we left on. It's just weird.
Wow, well, that's really cool.
There's a detail you didn't expect on your podcast.
No. Thank
you very much. Thank you for joining us. So just to remind you, that's on at the Theatre Chipping Norton.
That's right. It's on from the 10th to the 20th of May at 7:45, and there's a matinee on the final Saturday. And you can get tickets by calling the box office on 01608 649350, or going on to our website, which is www.chippingnortontheatre.com.
And as always, all of the information is on our website as well.